Amen. I hope you understand today that baptism doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't wash away your sins. Only the blood of Christ can take away your sin. But baptism is a picture of what he has done. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10, find verse 22. And if you are willing and able, would you stand with me as we get ready to read the word this morning? John 10, 22. We understand that the Bible is God's word, right? And so when we read the scriptures, we're hearing from God. That's our desire. And we want the God of heaven to speak to us through his word. So we're going to pray. We're going to ask him to speak to us, and then we'll read together here in John chapter 10, verse 22. We're talking about home for the holidays. It's not really about the holidays, but it is about getting back to the gospel and living there in our lives and in our families. And so that's the heart's desire behind this series of messages. We would get to the gospel and we would stay there. So I'm going to ask Brother Steve Mitchell, if you would, to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to read. Amen. John 10, 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Please be seated. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus is at the temple at the Feast of Dedication, one of the four main times that the Jews would come from all over to be there at a time of celebration. It was a time of sacrifice. It was a time of worship. And Jesus is really coming to the end of this segment of his ministry, and he is letting them know who he is. Now, they come around and say in verse 24, how long? Why don't you tell us plainly? I want you to notice what the Lord says here in verse 25. I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So Jesus points to his word and his works. He'd already told them that he was the true bread that came down from heaven. He'd already told them that he was sent from God. He had already told them who he was, and then he showed them by his works. And the miracles that Jesus did, nobody could deny. They were done openly, they were done plainly, and they were all seen by everyone. As a matter of fact, the Jews that hated Jesus didn't try to deny his miracles, they just tried to kill him because of his miracles. And so Jesus has displayed his power, and he points to his word and his works. Jesus had the ability not only to say things, but he had the power to back it up. You guys remember the four friends who brought their friend to Jesus? He couldn't walk, and they couldn't get in because there were so many people around the house. You guys remember that? How did they get their friend to Jesus? Yeah, they tore the roof off. The roof would have probably been made by branches covering it up, and then clay made on that. And as the rain came, that would cause the clay to harden, waterproof. But they would tear up that roof. They would lower their friend down. And Jesus, you remember, he said, your sins are forgiven you. And the people are like, what are you talking about? Who can forgive sin but God? And Jesus said, what's easier, to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say take up thy bed and walk? What's easier? Are you guys with me today? Because I can stand up here and say your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. I can say that all day long. Does it do any good? Well, you wouldn't know if it did or not, right? Because you can't see that. But if somebody is laying and is paralyzed and they can't walk, and Jesus was able to say to them, take up your bed and walk, you can see that. He demonstrated his power and his ability so that they would know he had the power not only to make the lame walk, the paralyzed walk, but he had the power to say your sins are forgiven and it be true. So Jesus had his word and his works. He had his message and his miracles, and he was showing them who he was. And these guys are like, why don't you just tell us plainly? He's like, I can't say it any more plainly than I have. My Father is God. And I am his, and he and I are one. And he sent me here to give you true bread from heaven. That's who I am. John had already said he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He had declared himself to be the true light that lights everyone that comes into the world. And Jesus had displayed his power and his ability through his miracles that he did. People who couldn't see, blind, were given their sight. People who couldn't speak were given the ability to speak. People who couldn't hear were given the ability to hear. And more importantly, those who were spiritually blind, those who were spiritually deaf, those who were spiritually paralyzed, Jesus healed them spiritually because they believed. And he displayed his great power. And then he says, you don't believe because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now Jesus came on the scene. And when Jesus showed up in Jerusalem and in Judea and all that area, there were people there who believed in God the Father. They had genuine faith, and they belonged to God the Father by faith. Okay, how was Abraham justified? How? By faith. So there were people who by faith had been justified. They had a right standing with God. There were people like Simeon and Anna and many, many others who believed. And when Jesus showed up, God the Father gave them to Jesus the Son. Because they had faith in God the Father, God gave them to the Son, Jesus. Their faith, God showed them that Jesus was the Messiah. But those who did not have real faith, those who did not believe in God, they weren't his. They didn't belong to the Father, and they couldn't be given to the Son because they didn't believe in the Father, so they couldn't believe in the Son. So what does it mean? Well, you have to believe. And Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And so he had told them who he was, but those who did not believe, they weren't his sheep, they couldn't believe because they weren't his. They didn't belong to God because they had not been justified by faith. But here's what I want to get to with you today. We're talking about home for the holidays. We're talking about returning to and dwelling in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's my heart's desire for your family and mine, is that we can say, my house, my family, my home, we follow Jesus. We follow Jesus. We're a mess. We are far from perfect. We fall on our faces all the time. But by the grace of God, we follow Jesus. We're not perfect. We're not without sin. We're not without problems. As a matter of fact, if you showed up today and you're a family that has no problems, you've come to the wrong place. We fuss, we fight, we argue. We fall short of the glory of God. We sin. We're a mess. We're a mess. We don't love him. We don't love each other. We don't love others. We are all a work in progress. But at the end of the day, we follow Jesus. Okay? You guys remember what Joshua declared? Whether you want to serve the gods of the Amorites, you want to serve the gods on the other side of the floods, you want to serve the gods of these heathens where you live, That's up to you. You can choose. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, men. Men, there ought to be a time in your life when you make a decision. The world can do what the world wants to do, and the unbelievers can do what the unbelievers want to do. And this hedonistic society that we live in can do whatever they want to do. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We are going to follow Jesus. If there's never come a time where you made that decision as a husband, as a father, as the leader of your home, you need to wake up today and say, as for me and my house, we follow Jesus. Because God's given it to you to determine. And some of you are like, well, there is no man in my home. There is no husband in my home. Well, then whoever is the one who's leading the home, maybe you're a single lady who's by yourself, you get to decide, I will follow Jesus. Whoever it is, we all have to make that decision. I will follow Jesus. As a family, as an individual, we want to make that decision. So how does that happen? Verse 27, just look at these phrases Jesus says. Number one, my sheep, my sheep. This is the division of everybody on planet Earth. You either belong to Jesus, you're his, or you're not. This is the actual division between everyone on the planet. It's not the color of your skin. It's not the amount of money in your bank account. It's not your ethnicity. It's not any other things. It's not whether you're male or female. It's not any of the other confusion that's going on in the world that divides everybody in America today and in the world today. The thing that truly divides all of us is whether we belong to Jesus or not. Are you his? He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, if we're his sheep, that means that he is the shepherd. And the Bible tells us he's the loving shepherd who, when he looked at the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were like sheep who were scattered without a shepherd. He's the judicial shepherd, the one who at the judgment will divide the sheep from the goats. He will separate those who are genuinely his, born again by faith, and those who were never his. He's the sacrificial shepherd. He's the one who was smitten. He's the one who was giving his life for the sheep. He's the watchful shepherd. The Bible says that he is the shepherd and bishop of our souls, the overseer, the one who watches over those that are his. But I want you to consider three ways that Jesus is the shepherd this morning. First of all, he is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. You're in John 10. Just back up a little bit. Find verse 1, John 10, verse 1. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So Jesus gives this parable. Nobody has any idea what he's talking about. I'm just curious. Anybody else ever read your Bible and you read it and you're like, "I have no idea what he's talking about"? Okay, good. I'm so glad that I'm not alone. And it helps me when I read this because you hear the parable and you're like, "I don't really know what he's getting at." But aren't you thankful that through Jesus' teaching and the Spirit of God, he gives us some understanding? So he's going to go on and give us some explanation. Look at verse 7. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, He has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" And this leads right up to where we were at. But I want you to get this. Jesus gives this parable, and he talks about a door and a sheepfold. He talks about thieves, and he talks about the shepherd. So a sheepfold was just an enclosure. A lot of times it was made by a short rock wall, or it might have even just been bushes and brambles and sticks or whatever they could find. But the shepherd would make a sheepfold. He would make some kind of enclosure, and there would be a door. But it wasn't a door like you think of, like the doors back there or here on the sides. It just felt like the exits are here and here. Sorry. This is stuff that happens in my head sometimes. I don't know. Not like a door, just an opening. And here's how the sheepfold worked. The shepherd would lead his sheep into the fold, and he would lay down in the opening. He was literally the door. He was the door. nothing could get to the sheep without going through him. And the sheep couldn't run away without going through him. And so that's the picture that he gives. And he says, the shepherd, he is the door. I am the door. You don't come in or out except through me. And that's the only way to life. It's the only way to heaven. It's the only way to be forgiven is through Jesus. And he says, anybody who's ever come in among my sheep any other way, that's a thief and a robber. Now, I know when you read that, what's the first person you think of, the first one you think of when you think of the one who comes to kill and steal and destroy? Yeah, we think of Satan. And literally in this passage, he's not actually talking about Satan himself. He's actually talking about false teachers. He's talking about false prophets. He's talking about those who had come in among Israel and had taught them false teaching and led them away from God. Now, were they servants of Satan? You bet they were. But he says, everybody who's come before me, these are false teachers. These are thieves who come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And they are certainly doing the work of the devil. And it is, isn't it crazy when Jesus starts preaching and pointing out the work of Satan, they call him Satan? You're a devil. Isn't that just like the devil? To accuse somebody else of being and doing what he is. By the way, he still likes to use that tactic in the world today. He says, I am the door. Everybody who came before me, they're thieves and robbers, but my sheep did not hear them. My sheep didn't hear them. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. I know them. They hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I want you to get this. Jesus is the good shepherd. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, Jesus obviously was being prophetic. He was literally going to die for his sheep. He's going to lay down his life and take it up again as a sacrifice. We're not going to take the time to study it this morning, but I would, if you're taking notes, just jot down Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a beautiful psalm, and it's about Jesus and his coming sacrifice. Where the psalmist would pin, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He would go on to say, they have pierced my hands and my feet. He would prophesy of what Messiah would come to do. And so Psalm 22 points us to this, that Jesus is the good shepherd. And Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And aren't you thankful that we have a shepherd who was willing to lay down his life for us? So he's the good shepherd. He's the sacrificial shepherd. He's the suffering savior. And he died to pay for our sins. He died. You guys have heard it before, but I'll say it again because it's good if you understand this. When Jesus died, he died to deliver us from the penalty of sin. Sin's penalty was placed on Jesus, so it doesn't have to be placed on you. When you trust in him, he takes that away. So he's the good shepherd. Not only that, but the Bible teaches us that he is the great shepherd. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Hebrews 13, 20. We're going to take a little break in the sermon. I'm going to check on the baptistry, make sure not about to overflow while you guys find Hebrews 13. We don't like it when it floods. It's all good. Everything's fine. All right, y'all still with me? All right. Hebrews 13, 5 verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You love it? Not only is he the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep, he is the great shepherd. He is the living protector. He is the one who is with us. He is the one who is living. He is the one who is working out his good will. He is perfecting you, maturing you, helping you to grow. And just like he died to deliver you from the penalty of sin, he lives to deliver you from the power of sin. This is what we call sanctification. So salvation is when you trust in Jesus as your Savior. Sanctification is while he is working in your life right now, bringing you to maturity, helping you to do what's pleasing in his sight, to do his will in your life. He's the great shepherd. And you could look, if you're taking those notes, you could write down Psalm 23. Are you familiar with that one? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, Psalm 23 is another shepherd psalm, and it's we call it the shepherd psalm, but Bible scholars will tell you that Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are shepherd psalms. 22 dealing with the sacrifice of Jesus, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Psalm 23, he is the great shepherd who is leading us. And what does he do? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me beside the still waters. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You guys remember? He's with us. He's guiding us. He's leading us. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear evil because he's with us. His rod and staff, they comfort us. And we know that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever by faith in him. So he's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And he is the chief shepherd. Check out 1 Peter 5, verse 1. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He's the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep, who delivers us from the penalty of sin. He's the great shepherd who watches over us, who protects us, who is living to deliver us from the power of sin. And he is the chief shepherd who is coming again with glory and majesty and honor and power, because he alone is worthy of all the glory and honor and praise forever. He comes to reward his servants. He is the chief shepherd who is coming again. And you can look at Psalm 24 and it'll tell you a lot about the one who's coming again. Psalm 24, that coming king, that coming savior. So the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, he is the shepherd. He says, my sheep. So who's the good shepherd? He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. But the question this morning is, who are his sheep? Who are his sheep? Because he says, my sheep, hear my voice. We read it back in John 10 in the parable he gave, verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I remember reading about a shepherd who had spent some time in Israel, and he said that he was sitting up on a hill. This is a long time ago. But he was sitting up on a hill where a crossroads was. And as he was sitting there just kind of watching the countryside and everything going along, he saw in the distance a shepherd coming one way. And as the shepherd walked in front of his sheep, he was singing. He was singing out loud, and his sheep were following him. And he said at the same time, he noticed coming the other direction was another shepherd leading his flock, and he was singing. And they came to the intersection. He thought, what in the world are they going to do? These sheep, it's going to be chaos. And they came to the crossroads and they met each other, and the shepherds kept singing and they just passed through each other, and all the sheep were intermingled, and the shepherd kept walking one way and one the other, singing all the while to their sheep. And he said he was amazed while he watched those sheep just stay with their shepherd, mixing all together in the crowd in the crossroad. And as they came out the other side, all the sheep from each shepherd just stayed with their shepherd, because they know their shepherd's voice and they follow him and they won't follow another. Isn't that amazing? Have any of you ever seen anything like that before? Have you ever tried to tell somebody else's dog what to do? We got to visit Melissa's family yesterday, and her stepsister has a dog. He's just a little baby, Grim. His name is Grim. He's a German Shepherd, and he's about this big. Okay, and he's the sweetest dog. He does nothing all day. When he's standing, he's chasing his tail. I've never seen a dog chase its tail like this dog. Never stops. Just always chase, literally chasing its tail. I think he might be inbred or something. I'm not sure. but there's something wrong with that dog. But I'm going to tell you this, Grim doesn't listen to me. You know, when you're talking to the dog, you got to get your dog, it's kind of like a dad voice, your dog voice. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Grim, stop. Grim, get out of here. No, Grim does what Grim wants to do. I am not his shepherd. He does not know my voice, and he does not follow me. Okay? I was always amazed by that because my dogs are different. My dogs, at least in the past, the one we have now is just, he's beyond help. But my dogs would listen to me, and they wouldn't listen to anybody else. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they know your voice, and they listen to you. These sheep, I was amazed by that story when I read it years ago, just imagining that scene in my mind, these dusty roads and the shepherds coming along, singing all the while, and the sheep just following their shepherd. What a beautiful picture. You know, there are a lot of voices in the world saying a lot of things, trying to get you to go one way or the other. But if you're his, you know his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. If we are his, we're going to hear his voice, and we will follow him. He said there in John 10 and verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. If you're his, you're going to hear his voice. If you're his, you're going to hear his voice. So here's the question this morning. Are you hearing the voice of Jesus? And I can already tell some of you are like, I don't know where he's going with this. Like, do you hear voices in your head? Or like you hear a voice from the clouds? Like, what's going on? I read my Bible where God spoke to some people in an audible voice that they heard him. There were certainly people like that. Saul of Tarsus, when he met Jesus, he heard a voice. The people around him, they couldn't understand it. It sounded like thunder to them, but he heard. But I'm just going to be here to tell you this morning that I don't know that God's speaking to people in an audible voice today, but I know that he speaks to us through his word. And I know that he speaks to us through his spirit. God speaks to us through his word and through his spirit. And if I'm his, I ought to hear his voice. Well, if I'm going to hear his voice, that means I've got to hear the word of God. I've got to hear the scriptures. I've got to open the book and read it. I've got to show up and listen to preaching. I've got to get online and find good biblical sermons to listen to or on the radio. But we ought to be listening to him and hearing his voice. And it's not just words, but when you read it and when you hear it, that God is actually speaking to you, that he is saying something to you in your heart. Now, just real quick, how many of you have experienced that? Like, you've heard God speak to you before. Like, you've listened to the word, you've read the word, you've listened to preaching, and God was talking to you through his word. You guys are all, like, scared. I don't want people to think I'm crazy. Some of you are like, I hear voices all the time. Yeah, we need to be sure what voices we're hearing, right? Because I don't want to listen to just the noise that rattles around in my head. Some of you guys are like me, you have a hard time turning all the voices off. Like, there's a lot of noise. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about seeking God's face. I'm talking about the Spirit of God speaking clearly to you. By the way, you'll know it's him because he never contradicts his word. He always speaks truth. So I get in the word and I hear from him. I ought to be hearing from him every day. I love those moments when I open my Bible and I read it and God is just speaking to me. I love it. It happened just this past week. Been praying about something and then counseling with somebody who's really struggling with some things and talking to them and trying to give them some godly counsel. And I opened up my Bible app the next morning and the answer's like right there, just there. But you ever had that happen? They're like, wow, look, this is exactly what I've been praying about and it's right here. I love that. And it's something you and I can experience every day. Not only do we hear his voice, but he knows us. I know them. You guys know where we're going. Matthew 7, 21. Some of you are really familiar with this. You've heard it 1,000 times, but you need to hear it 1,001. You need to understand this. Matthew 7, verse 21. Because Jesus says, my sheep are known of me. I know them. Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus didn't say, I used to know you, and now I don't know you anymore. He says, I never knew you. Can I say it one more time? You are not saved by works. Your good works can't save you. These people did a lot of good things, and they did it in the very name of Jesus, but he says, I never knew you. Jesus says you can't enter his kingdom unless you do the will of the Father. So what's the will of the Father? Jesus says in John 6:29, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. This is the work of God. How about John 6 and verse 40? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Judgment is coming. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Well, how do you know him and him know you? Well, it's by faith. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him with all your heart. 1 John 3:23, this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. So we're known of him by faith in him. So my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What does it do? What good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? We want to let go of this life. We'll let go of the things of this world, and we want to trust in the Lord Jesus and follow him. Jesus said in John 8:31 to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And we don't want to be hearers only. We want to be doers. But you can't follow him unless you believe in him. That's really profound, deep theology. Stay with me. You can't follow him unless you believe in him. It has to start with faith. But if you believe, you must follow. I'm just trying to understand what he's saying. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. So if I'm him, I ought to hear him. He says, my sheep, I know them. So if I'm his, then he has to know me. And that happens by faith. And he says, my sheep follow me, which means that if I'm his, I must be following him. Therefore, it follows that if I'm not hearing him, I don't hear his voice, I don't know his voice, and he doesn't know me because I don't believe in him, and I'm not following him, then I must not be his sheep. And I want to be his. Don't you? I want to be his. I'm just here to tell you today that this only happens by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God called Abram. He said, I want you to come, and I want you to go to a place. I'll show you later where you're going to go. But Abram believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness because he got up and he went, and he followed. He followed. And this morning, God is calling, and he wants you to follow him. For his sheep, he has great reward. Back in our text in John 10, verse 28, it says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus says that his sheep will receive eternal life and will never perish. Is that the hope that you have in Christ today? Is it the hope that you want your children and grandchildren to have? It's the hope I want for my family, not just now, but for generations to come. I thank God for generations of believers who have said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And some of you are second, third, fourth, fifth generation of men and women who have said, "We're going to follow God." Some of you are first generation. Some of you are second generation. I'm just telling you, wherever it's at, I pray that God would keep that legacy going in our lives. That we would say, in our house, we follow Jesus. Let me help you out. My kids are not going to be able to follow Jesus the way they ought to if I'm not following Jesus the way I ought to. If the gospel isn't real and lived out in my house, what does that mean? That we're perfect? That we're sinless? No. What it actually means is that when we mess up, we fess up. That we live an example of the gospel, that as a family, we're going to mess up. We're going to do things wrong. We're going to get it wrong sometimes. And when we do, we don't just smile and pretend like everything's okay, but we run to Jesus. And we say, "God, help us. We've messed up. We need your grace. We need your help." That as a father, that I would model that to my children. "Kids, I messed up." I don't know if you've ever done that before or not, but I've messed up with my kids. And I've had to go to them and say, "Listen, what you did was wrong, but the way I responded was wrong too. I should have never said that. I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have had that anger." And I've had to go to my kids and repent. Why would I do that? Some of you are like, "What's wrong with you? That's not how you parent." It's how I parent, because it's how God has parented me. He's been merciful to me. He's been gracious to me. And when I've gone to him, he has forgiven me every time. And I want my kids to know that when they fall, he'll pick them up. Have you ever fallen? Well, you have a shepherd. He'll get you out of the ditch, and he'll put you on his shoulders, and he'll carry you. What a Savior. Jesus is the shepherd. But can you say, like David did, "The Lord is my shepherd"? He is the good shepherd. He's given his life for the sheep to deliver you from the penalty of sin. Are you trusting in him today? He is the great shepherd, the one who is perfecting you, maturing you. He's working his goodwill in your life. He's leading you in paths of righteousness to deliver you from the power of sin. Are you following him? He's the chief shepherd. He's coming again to reign over his sheep in his eternal kingdom to deliver us from the power of sin forever. Are you looking for him? This morning I'm going to ask you to stand. Our musicians are going to come. And we want to have an opportunity to respond to the word of God. If you can't say today, "The Lord is my shepherd," you can trust in him this morning. If you have trusted in him, maybe you're not hearing from him like you ought to day by day. You could come to him today and say, "God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your voice. I want to follow you. Lord, I haven't been leading my family to follow you. We've kind of had church here and kind of everything else over there, but I want Christ to be at the center of my home. I want the gospel to flow through everything in my life." Whatever it is, if he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.
Page 573.